May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today is the New Year's Eve of the church year. Did you know that? We don't have a big ball drop or anything, but it is. It's really the New Year's Eve of the church year today. It's the final Sunday, and the church's pattern of seasons and biblical stories before we begin a new year all over with the first Sunday of Advent next week. On this eve of the new year in church history, we always commemorate Christ the King or the Reign of Christ Sunday, a day to remember that Jesus is over all earthly powers, that he's beyond any earthly allegiances or nations or governors or ideologies, and that he reigns like a king over us and over all of creation. Sometimes world events make it easy for us to forget that there are actually good rulers, even throughout human history, women and men who've made life better for their subjects and improved the world around them. Can you think of any such rulers like that? Perhaps Queen Elizabeth II comes to mind, right? Now the longest ruling monarch in current world history. Or a different ancient leader I read about recently, Emperor Ashoka of 3rd century India, who was benevolent and peaceful, an advocate for tolerance of all religions, and who began the first animal hospitals and animal welfare organizations. Or maybe you think of our own country's history, not so much a king, right, but a president. Maybe Abraham Lincoln, who was, of course, saw our country through deep divisions and through tumultuous times in its history. So who is a good ruler? And what makes them good? Our gospel reading today is a vision of final judgment. And Jesus, the Son of Man, finally, at last, on his throne. Looked at through the lens of Reign of Christ Sunday, this vision should show us just what kind of ruler we have and just what makes him good. Few people who have heard this story of judgment tend to forget it. It is a memorable and oft-quoted biblical story, but it's not usually remembered for its vision of a kind, benevolent ruler. This is a heavy image, at times even a fear-inspiring image. Here, our ruler doesn't seem to be coming to bring peace between peoples, or to rule with gentleness, or to find a middle way. Here, it seems that half his subjects have been entirely cast off and cut off and put out into eternal darkness and punishment. But that's not the whole story. There's an awful lot about this story we might miss when our attention is entirely stolen by this seemingly dramatic conclusion. Just as there might be an awful lot we miss about a ruler when we focus only on the most glamorous of their accomplishments. A conspicuous crowd is gathered before the throne here, an unusual group of people. It's not just Jesus' Jewish brothers and sisters. It's not just the disciples or those who have followed him. All nations, all people, regardless of what country or ruler or god they had an allegiance to, all nations are gathered before the throne here. This isn't just another earthly king who rules over his own kingdom. This is a ruler of all nations, regardless of their allegiances, a ruler of the whole of creation, the totality of the universe. And also to the surprise of those gathered before him, this great king on a throne does not act like a king. He acts like a shepherd. He does the job of a lowly, smelly, sleeps out in the field, spends more time with animals than with humans, estranged from society, shepherd. That is a strange job for a king to take up. What a shock when you thought you were going to meet the king of creation. And that's not the end. of the surprises. In fact, perhaps instead of being called the final judgment, as this story is often called, we should call it the final surprise. Those gathered are sorted into two groups. Those who appeared to aid the least, lost, last, and lowly of the world, and those who didn't. And in turn, this shepherd king confronts each group about their actions. But neither the sheep nor the goats have any idea what he's talking about. Those who went about their lives doing good, they had no idea that they were serving God. And those who didn't do good had no idea that they were defying such a king. Both groups are equally shocked and surprised at this turn of events. If this story is in one way the heaviest, most fear-inspiring tale of all, it is also the lightest, the last laugh in the mighty act of salvation, because it's the bestowal of the inheritance of the kingdom of God on a bunch of sheep who not only didn't know they were doing good works for God, but also never knew that they were being faithful to God. How could that be? How could it be that those who receive the eternal blessing, those who are welcomed into God's kingdom, embraced by the king, have no knowledge of just what they did to get there? I think the key lies in Jesus' own explanation to them, in the words, "Just as you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. Just as you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me." What was central to their lives was not the doing of the deeds themselves. What was central to their lives was the relationship that doing such deeds reflected. The sheep had a relationship with those who lacked food and drink and clothing. They had a relationship with those who were imprisoned, rightly or wrongly. They knew those who were ill, and they took time to get to know the stranger. These sheep had a relationship with the least of these. And so too, they had a relationship with Jesus. Because that's one of the primary differences between our King Jesus and even the best earthly ruler that you might be able to remember. The best earthly ruler is still that, just a ruler. Someone above the people, beyond their reach at most times, unknown to everyday folk. But Jesus rules by relationship. He comes to us in the least of these, and those who lack what they need, and the foreigner, in prisons and in hospitals. Jesus comes to us in these most lowly of human places, abdicating his throne, so that he might come to know us and to know all those in the humblest stations of life. To serve such people is to have a relationship with them. And to have a relationship with them is to have a relationship with Jesus. And when God Almighty is a close and intimate friend, a loving companion, a king who left the throne to shepherd you, you live life in deep trust of that relationship. Like the sheep, you live life in trust of that care, in trust that the king of creation is always right by your side. And so, of course, you always have enough to share with someone in need. Of course, you don't need to fear the stranger. Of course, prisons and hospitals don't scare you. You have the king of creation by your side. The real difference between the sheep and the goats is not that one group were do-gooders and the other weren't. The real difference between the sheep and the goats is that one group lived their lives in trust of the God that they knew, so that their hands and their hearts were open to the world around them. The poor goats couldn't seem to trust in that shepherd's care, so their lives were lived in fear fear that closed them off from the world, from one another, from the God who loves them still. Because those who know Jesus know that Jesus is the good shepherd, right? The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, but the good shepherd lays down his life for the goats too. Because on the cross, this good shepherd draws all people to himself. The sheep are his sheep, and the goats are his goats. The king will go right on shepherding them until that day when they might finally learn to trust his care. Next week, we will begin that new church year together. And at the start of this year, you are going to be given such wonderful opportunities to grow in relationship with your good shepherd, to grow in your trust of that good shepherd, our different kind of king who's always by our side. The season of Advent that we enter next Sunday is all about getting ready for this king's arrival, both again at Christmas time and once and for all at the end of time. Over the 4 weeks of Advent, we will awake, prepare, rejoice, and receive. We will awake to signs of God's coming into the world. We will prepare our hearts to welcome Jesus and his arrival in the least of these. We will rejoice at God's nearness in our lives. And finally, we'll receive Jesus into our hearts, our homes, our world. Use this short season as a time to grow in your relationship with the King, to grow in your trust of this King's love and care and mercy for you. Because when we have a relationship with Jesus, we cannot help but serve the hungry, the thirsty, the naked, the ill and imprisoned, and the stranger. When we have a relationship with Jesus, we can't help but see him in the least of these. When you have the King of creation on your side, you don't need to fear what will happen when you open your hands and your hearts to the hurting world around you. On this eve of the new year, might we be emboldened and refreshed and comforted by the news of a king who has left his throne to be with us, a far different kind of king than any earthly ruler we might know. And might our trust in this king's love and grace for us open us to a hurting world that wants to know his care. For all these things, we give thanks to God. Amen.